Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and this is our vision. Let's share this together: to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All right. Well, we've been looking at this, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this word love is the agape love. See, there's five types of love in the Bible. And I think it's significant to understand. So there's filial love. That's where you get the word Philadelphia. Filial love, that's brotherly love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So then there's Eros love, which is the romance, sexual relationship between a man, a husband, and a wife. And that's called Eros love. That's where we get the word erotic. Okay? And then there's storge love. And that's where that speaks of relationships in the family. So in other words, family relationships. So you got Philio, Eros, Storge, and then there's Thermos, where we get the word thermos, keeps things warm or cold. So the concept behind it is compassion. It's a compassionate love. All these loves, those four loves, are based on emotions. Now, God says marriage is established on agape love. Marriage is superior. All these four are inferior to agape. When agape is in place, your brotherly love, your friendship love, you will have a friend forever. When agape is in place, and with Eros love, your relationship, your romance relationship, all your needs will be met because agape is in place. Because agape is to serve and yield. You see that? And edify. And all your needs sexually will be met under agape. Then we have what? Storge. When storge and agape is in place, all those relationships are going to be connecting and getting along, not full of strife and quarreling and disagreeing all the time. There's going to be agreement and unity in the family. You see this? Because agape is in place. Thermos. When thermos is in place, there's going to be more compassion in your life than ever. Because agape is over it. Am I making sense today? So that's what marriage is established in, agape. And this right here, this love is agape. So joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all the fruit of the Spirit comes out of the agape love. You can't have real joy outside of the agape love. It'll let you down every time. It can't last. It can't last. Remember, I told you, there's marriages that stay together 40, 50 years. You got them sleeping in separate rooms, and they're always at odds with each other, and There's no real depiction of Christ. But see, God established marriage to show the world Christ and the church. You see that? That's what marriage is about. We're supposed to display, our marriage should be so reflective of Christ and the church. You see that? Because we're in the agape love. We show people, this is how you do life. This is how you love your wife. This is how you love your spouse. Because I'm under the agape love. You see that? And people will want what you have. And your children will want what you have. Your children will follow Christ because of your decision. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what we're talking about today. But now here's what we're talking about. This is something that has to be developed. This is something that has to grow and mature. And Paul was talking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 13, and they weren't getting the results in their relationships, in their community, that they were longing for. So Paul was saying, okay, it's because you're not in the agape love. And he says, this is what he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:11, talking about the agape love. So the idea is we have to stop some things in order to get to what we're after. Did you get that? There's some things we have to stop if we're going to get to what we're after. And so that's what we need to grow in. So we're going to look at some of that. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:5. This is where we were the past few weeks. Love does not, remember we're coming up, we're looking at what love doesn't do. Love does not behave rudely. Has anybody ever behaved rudely? Love does not seek its own. It's not full of selfish ambition. Remember, that's really strife. That's strife. You're always wanting your way. And so then it says, is not provoked. And the word provoked, remember, in the Greek, literally means vinegar. So it's vinegar means sharp, stringent, sour, bitter. So we don't want to be sharp, stringent, sour, and bitter towards people. God is always looking at how you treat people. You see that? How you treat people, your response towards people is really what God monitors. Watches over. Your response, remember, is your responsibility. Your response is your responsibility. We have to understand that. Now watch. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. We talked about thinking no evil. Oh, and I remember years ago when I looked at it, oh my, I'm in trouble now. Because sometimes I'll go down to pray, and I get all these raunchy thoughts start coming in. Get them out of there. You got to ask God to help me, right? And he will. Remember, we want to think on praiseworthy. That was my life verse, praiseworthy. When I think on what's praiseworthy, I give God praise. And so remember, when I'm praising God out of my mouth, it interrupts my thoughts. And what the enemy sent to discourage me or take me out is interrupted by what comes out of my mouth. That's why praise has so much power. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes comes perfect praise. That word perfect doesn't mean it's without error. It means it's mature because the principle is in place. The principle of praise is in place. Praise means appreciation. I appreciate God. I'm putting it in place. Now my thoughts aren't going to discourage me and cause me to be depressed. He's going to help me. Then what's the next verse? And the peace of God will be with you. See that? And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because you put the principle in place. Remember? Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. And that's God's wisdom. And that's what we all need. We all need God's wisdom. because God created you, He knows you better than anybody knows you. And so we need His wisdom to live life. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The word glory means what God originated and intended. So I need that wisdom. He said, but we speak before the ages. It means before you were born. God had this wisdom for you. And when you tap into this wisdom, now I'm discovering who I am and I'm fulfilling God's will. It says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. See that? In all you're getting, get understanding of what is wisdom. When I get that wisdom, now I have the principles in place. You see, remember we talked about in 2 Timothy 3:4, it says that in the latter days, men are going to be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What happens is, in marriages even, and in all it, we'll put pleasure before purpose. See, God had a purpose before we were born. He saved us in 2 Timothy 1:8. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, God had a purpose for your life. And when we're in that purpose, see, now we're fulfilling His will. You see, when you're not in His purpose, abuse is inevitable. You'll abuse the purpose of the thing. And what was the purpose of your marriage? To express Christ. Of your life? To be a person of reconciliation, a person that expresses Christ. Amen? And so when we don't know that purpose, abuse is inevitable. Remember, I always use that idea when I was building that go-kart. When I was a kid, I was using a crescent wrench to build a go-kart, and I was hammering nails with a crescent wrench. There's a little wheel on there, and it chipped that little wheel all up, and it wouldn't work anymore. I couldn't use it anymore because the wheel was stuck for a wrench, you know, for bolts and nuts, for what it was. That's what its purpose was, because it wasn't supposed to be a hammer, but I was using it for a hammer. See, when abuse is inevitable, when you don't use fulfill its purpose. And that's the way it is. So this is why we have to understand God's principles. He's given us principles to carry out His purpose. And when we're ignorant of them, we can't carry out His purpose, because we're violating the principles He's established to get His will done here on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, I need to get out of here. I tell you what, I'm getting excited here. Okay, now listen. This is huge. When we understand this, it helps us to see things. We see people differently. You know, you don't get upset with people like you used to, because everybody's broken until you get this understanding. You see that? Everybody's broken. You know, your boss is on your back all the time. They may not know Christ, or they wouldn't be on your back all the time. But you're free to love them and stay in God's purpose. And God has put you there to help them, right? Okay. So, give them mercy, right? Mercy is, I'm not giving you what you deserve. See, God, you know how much mercy God gave you, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give people the same mercy that God gives us. And when we do that, we're in the love of God. You can't do that without the love of God, because you will always retaliate. And you'll always want to get them told, or, you know, you go negative on them. You see that? But when we give mercy to people who don't deserve it, it protects us, because that's the love of God. And then what's He say? He says, I beseech you that by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Now watch this. And He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. What's God saying? When you understand His principles and you're in the love of God, and you're extending mercy to people who don't deserve it, you're proving his will. You know what they're saying at work? You know what they're saying in the world? Prove it. Prove it to me. When you do, it has a power because it's from the love of God. You see that? It has a power and a grace that people will want what you have. But if you're critical and judgmental and always looking down and thinking you're better, people don't want that. People don't want religion. You see that? The Pharisees were full of religion. That's why they weren't fair, you see. Now, we're going to look at this. What's the next one? Let's look at this. Verse, love, this is the one we're looking at today. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. So, this is significant right here. This is what he's saying we don't do. Rejoice is exuberant, ecstatic, joy. Excited. We don't get excited about iniquity. Okay, what's iniquity? I used to think iniquities were sin. When you start reading your Bible and understand iniquities isn't sin, it's a pattern in your life that holds you in sin. You see that? It's a pattern. It's an inward bent towards destruction. It means lawlessness. Iniquity means lawlessness. Iniquities are patterns in your life that hold you in sin because of lawlessness. Now think about this. In Lamentations 2:14, now just ponder what I'm going to say. You cannot overcome what you don't identify. Did you hear that? So you can't overcome what you don't identify. So somehow we're going to have to understand iniquities, right? Well, give me an example of what iniquity looks like. Okay, I'll use myself. When I was, remember I told you I grew up in dysfunction? And my mom was put into an institution. They diagnosed her with paranoid schizophrenic. And she was put into that hospital when I was 5. Well, that just devastated me. But, you know, the last 13 years I had with her, she lived to be 87. She didn't take any medicine. She had no paranoid schizophrenic. Just saying. Here's what I'm trying to help you see something. Just, I'm not saying that's going to happen with everybody. But it happened with my mom. Now listen. But because of that, I remember I was in a lot of pain as a child. And these guys in the neighborhood, hey, let's get the teenagers to buy us some beer. So we got them to buy us some beer. I'm in the 6th grade. Oh, where are we going to drink it? Oh, we had a little clubhouse behind the Herald's house. If you're watching, it's okay. I'm not telling you first names. Behind the Herald's house. And we would get in there and we'd go out there and do things, you know, boys do. Take snakes and, you know, just all kinds of, you know, boys do. But anyways, we're going to drink some beer. But here's the thing. When I was like 6, my dad never drank, never had beer in the house. But now we had some German folks next to us. Nothing wrong with German folks. Love German folks. You know, glad for Germans. All good, good, good. But they drank beer like water. So he's out there mowing the grass and with my dad. My dad's mowing his grass. He hands my dad a beer over the fence. And I saw it. And so I ran up to my dad, oh, give me a drink of that. I didn't know what it was. Oh, you can't have that. Boy, that got me. Because he always gave me a drink every time I asked. Not this time. And then I remember what his breath smelled like. Well, here's the thing. My dad didn't drink because his dad was an alcoholic. And his dad got saved under Billy Sunday's ministry. And so my dad saw that. And so my dad saw the problem it caused with his mom and in his family. He said, I'm not going to have that in my house. So, but now all of his brothers didn't do that. Another brother had his son, and his son ended up getting involved, drinking, and died of cirrhosis of the liver at age 41. This is a pattern that's in your life. You see that? That has a hold on you. Now, I'm getting drunk in the sixth grade. Can you imagine that? No, so I'm getting, so then then in high school, I'll be in class, I'm thinking about, I'm going to go out to lunch, get me a brewski. You know what I'm saying? It had a hold on me. So I got married, and I ended up getting saved. First thing that God showed me, you got to get that out of your life. I never touched it since. I had a quart of beer in my hand the night I accepted Christ. I put that down. I never touched it again over 40 years ago. I'm trying to show you that's a pattern. Now, my dad and my mom, when my dad and mom got married, my mom was pregnant. Well, you're really showing your business today. Think about this. So, when my grandpa got married, they were pregnant. My grandmother was pregnant, and she was one of the most godly people I know. But she'd come to Christ in a real way after they got married. And then they both did. And then, remember, when I was 6 or 7 down there visiting, they're in their 80s. I'm watching them in the kitchen. I got to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom. I hear my grandmother making biscuits in the kitchen. And here's my grandpa in the bedroom. And he comes out of the bedroom into the kitchen. And my grandma's making biscuits on a wood stove. And he pinches her on the behind. He puts his arms around her. And I'm watching all this, and it's like, I can feel this. In my heart, I said, that's what I want. I want that. I longed for that. Is this making sense? That was agape, working. You see? And they had it real. But I'm trying to show you. Now, when my kids got married, my son got married, I got to marry him. He was a virgin. He's still married to his wife that's a virgin. When my daughter got married, she was a virgin. I taught them. I broke that pattern off of my children. Am I making sense? By teaching them God's way. And so this is what we do. This is what God calls us to. So, are you with me today? It's much more than just drinking or immoral acts. It's a pattern in your life that can hold you hostage. Now look at this. So here's what we need. We need vision, and we need to see. Remember, what we can't identify, we can't change or overcome. So now, we need vision. In Lamentations, can you give me that? 2:14. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. There they have not uncovered your iniquity. You see that? To bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. So what he's saying there is, the people you're listening to aren't telling you the whole truth. They're false prophets. They're not telling you the truth. You see, people, you can go to church every day of the week. And if they're not bringing the word of God and prophesying the word of God over you, then you know what? You're missing out on the truth. You can't just go hear 3 points in a poem and bring change into your life. You need more than what's just preached on Sunday. You need God's word in your life. Now, so the word vision, false and deceptive visions. The word vision, now pay attention to this. The word vision and revelation are the same words. Synonymous. Vision and revelation are the same words. So, it talks about in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. The people cast off restraints. When you don't have a revelation or a vision, you can't see. So you don't have restraints to do what God's asking. See that? But when you have his vision and his revelation, now it brings the restraints so you can do his will. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ restrains us. Restrains us. See, a restraint in the Bible is for your well-being. When people are pulled over for drinking, they're inebriated behind the wheel, first thing a police officer will do is put handcuffs on them. That's called restraints. And they put handcuffs on them so they don't hurt themselves, so they don't hurt others. That's what restraints are in our life. So we don't hurt ourselves, and so we don't hurt other people. We need God's vision so we can see things that we can't see on our own. We need God's revelation so we can see things that we can't see on our own. Jesus said there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. Look like sheep, smell like sheep, talk like sheep. But inside, they're ravenous wolves. Satan doesn't always show up looking like Satan. When Satan showed up in the garden, he showed up looking like a snake. A snake looks like he belongs in a garden. But he's really out of place. Making sense? We got to know, because we can't see everything. When you get God's revelation and his vision, you see in a whole different way. A whole different way. Now look. It says they haven't uncovered their iniquity in Lamentations. Therefore, they remained in captivity. See, revelation, the word revelation, listen to me, it means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So when you prophesy, that's what prophetic means. You speak God's word over people. It uncovers an area in their life that they can see now that they couldn't see before. That's why you come to a place like this. It makes you uncomfortable. Sometimes, man, he's talking to me. I've had people come up here and say, boy, you're reading my mail. How'd you know? No, I'm just speaking God's word over you. You see that? And so that's what it is. A prophetic, prefix re, back to, deem, what God deems most important. I'm trying to redeem this area of your life that's outside the principles that I've established for you to get to the healthy place to do my will. Catching that? So that's why he does that. So he showed, and the word redeem, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now listen, by the blood of the Lamb. In 1 Peter 1:23, now watch this. We've been redeemed by the blood.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.